Okay, if you'd just like to take your seats. Neil, if you'd like to come, Andy.
Heavenly Father, you've just been speaking to us this morning about who you are and how we just need to go deeper with you to know you more. And Father, I just ask that you would anoint Neil with your Holy Spirit now to help us, to guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we might know you better and walk more and more in your righteousness and reflect more and more your glory, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andy. Okay. Take my glasses off and see things a bit better. Good morning and welcome to Hexham International Community Church. Currently streaming live in 5 different languages. I'm getting there anyway. Just before I start, the promo obviously was to give you a flavour for where we're going in the next few weeks. Not this morning, but next few weeks, where we're going to look at the 7 I Ams of Jesus, actually the next few months, really. And also our theology nights are going to follow a theme in John as well, the Gospel of John. Just to say, our theology nights and prayer nights, for a season at least, are going to go to every other month, just to give some of our small groups a little bit more time to meet together and also for us to fit other things in on some of the spare Tuesday nights. So watch this space, but just be aware of that you might think, oh, we haven't had as many prayer nights and theology nights. We're just going to do them every other month to create a little bit of space in the midweek to do other things. God keeps talking about new things. We want to give him space for new things. So watch for that. Also want to say at this point, where's Caitlin? Thank you for preaching my whole sermon in song this morning. It's interesting when Ian was saying about being excited and Nikki being excited, and there was various comments about being excited, and I was quite excited about coming here this morning. You know, summer's great. I love summer. I love the summer services. I think Pauline, she's not in, but did a really good job of putting our summer services together. All the people that spoke and took part, you did a great job. The picnics were great. I saw there was one day when at the end of last morning, a lot of you who were there will know that my WhatsApp was going 50 to the dozen as people were commenting about how good the in fact, I got to the point I had to opt out of it because I thought I'm humming a bit here, David. I had to opt out of it because I was getting so many bombarded WhatsApps. I thought I can't work, but it was great and it was all good. But there's something in me that gets excited as we get at end of summer and we come back together, where you know we've got hopefully everybody back off holiday and just there's something about that. So I was quite excited anyway, and I've touched various ones who've said about being excited this morning. But excited as well because God's here. God wants to touch us. And so if you want to turn ready in your Bibles to John 21, my talk this morning has got a little title to it that I've given it, which is Whispers and Kippers. Whispers and Kippers. And if at the end of my talk you haven't made the connection, I haven't done a very good job, but you will get a little something off the stewards to go out this morning to remind you of the talk, because I want to just have you thinking about that this week. It still seems very deep and echoey, this, but I'll plod on for the moment. Many of you will remember just before summer, I shared a little about my feelings of how I felt as though somehow I'd lost some edge. There was something in me that was feeling I wasn't where I have been, all those sort of feelings going on, a loss of confidence in me. And as just before summer started, still with some of this, beginning to come through some of that, but still with some of that, still very much there, I went to the Bill Johnson conference in Harrogate, and in the early stages of the conference, really, without it even being touched on, I just felt in one of the evening sessions, God say to me, for this Sunday, your word for the first Sunday back is going to be divine encounter. I said, okay. And those who preach regularly will know the feeling of when God gives you a subject, you then seem to see that. It seems to come up everywhere you go. Everything you read, you're seeing that come through. And so I've had a summer of this subject of divine encounter just coming up and coming up and coming up again. And so that I want to try this morning and just share some of my heart of what God's been doing in me through summer. And hopefully I can get across in the short time that I have something of what I feel God's been saying for me, but for us as a church as well, for you as individuals. So those of you who are at Transform as well will have heard Andy Barclay-Watt do his session. He only did a very short session, but I was absolutely gripped listening to him, because he was talking about his sabbatical. I don't know how many times he told us over Transform he'd been on a sabbatical. Said to somebody partway through, do you think he's been on a sabbatical? But he talked about, again, interesting, he said, one of the things that God highlighted to him in his sabbatical was that he'd lost his edge, that he'd lost something, that for many reasons he listed, you know, busyness of work, tiredness, hurt, disappointment, all these things, but he felt he'd lost his edge and that God brought him through something of recovery and restoration. And on that night, I took my radio off and said to somebody, will you listen for my calls, because I want to go and get Andy to pray with me. And it was such a powerful blessing for me, for somebody who'd been through what I was feeling, to be able to pray with me and help me through some of those things. So God was on my case all the way through summer. And as I say, I want to try and just touch a little bit of that. So whispers and kippers, you're probably already where I am already. So if we go to John 21, we've got this story. We've had the crucifixion. We've had the whole story of the Last Supper. We've had, you know, Peter so vehement that he would never betray Jesus. And that whole conversation between Jesus and Peter, you know, you think you love me so much, but you're going to deny me three times. And then the scene in the courtyard where he's round the fire three times, he's asked, you're one of them. And he denies it three times. And as I read through some of this over summer, talks about he went away and he wept. And when you dig into it a bit, it's not just a little cry. It's a heartfelt, wrenching regret of what he's done in rejecting Jesus, denying Jesus. So he has this massive, I almost sort of read it and get a sense of almost a breakdown of his life as he realizes, I've had 3 years of incredible journey, 3 years of intense Daniel challenge, and I've seen so much, and yet I failed. I could feel that. And so then we move on in the story in John 20. We'll read the background of it and have a look at it. In John 21, we come to the part where Jesus meets them. Go to verse 12. They've been out fishing all night. They've got nothing. Something in that as well, you know. There's so much in this that I could talk about that I haven't got time for. Here's the disciples, having had this 3 years of intense training and experience. Then Jesus is crucified, and what do? They fall back on their own experiences. They go back to their own devices and think, well, Jesus isn't here to provide us with all the food anymore. He's not here to do this and that. The other. What do? We go fishing. And when they go back to their own devices, again, even in that, they can't. They get nothing. There's so much in there, I haven't got time to touch on. But let's go to verse 12. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. I'm going to have to be careful because there's so much I'd love to say here. Let me just read for a minute. Come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave them and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know how much I love you. I just want you to get hold of the passion that's in that conversation. When they get off the boat, if you read before that, the first thing they see when they get there, the first thing Peter encounters is a fire, a charcoal fire. Where does his mind go? His mind goes straight back to the courtyard where he was around a fire and he denied Jesus. And suddenly he's presented with a fire again. His thoughts would have gone back. I remember this. And on the fire, here's Jesus cooking kippers. And as I read that, I thought again, almost the last time we have this, Jesus is serving them, washing their feet. And here again this morning, he's serving them, he's cooking them breakfast. The one that they love, the one that they should be serving, is serving them. And even in Peter's failure and his denial, Jesus served him breakfast. There's so much that I could say about all of that, but I haven't got time. But here's Peter now faced with, oh, my failure. I just want to read to you, it's just quite a long a little bit, but I read it through summer and with all this in my mind, just in my devotional, as I was doing my devotional one day, I read this and thought, wow. The devotional is headed Past Mistakes and Forgiveness. And then a subheading, A Bit of Weeping. There's so much to say about Jesus and Peter that it's hard to know where to begin. One thing you'll notice when reading through the Gospels, Peter was a bit of a brash, act, speak before you think sort of fellow. From being told, get behind me, Satan, to also being told he would deny Jesus three times, it seems Peter had a hard time staying out of his own way. You could argue that Peter was the ultimate fixer-upper. The difference between Gospels Peter and Acts Peter is so stark. In the book of Acts, Peter delivers such a powerful and profound message, so eloquent and convicting. He became a strong, wise leader for the early church, deeply connected to the heart of Jesus, a man used by God tremendously. So what changed? How did he go from get behind me, Satan, to a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ? If you were to try to pinpoint a specific pivotal moment in Peter's life, it would have to be his denial of Jesus and subsequent restoration. You know the story. After the Last Supper, Jesus tells his disciples they will all desert him. Peter hastily interjects, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. It was a bold statement, which Jesus countered by telling Peter he wouldn't just desert him, but he'd also deny him three times that night. You can almost imagine Peter thinking, no way, that'll never happen. I'll never fall away like that. But fall he did. And as he remembered the words of Jesus, he went away and wept bitterly. The Greek word for bitterly refers to a deep, heart-wrenching and miserable grief. Upon his resurrection, Jesus asked Peter if he loves him 3 times. Hardly a coincidence. And then proceeds to tell him to feed and tend to his sheep. It's here that Jesus restored Peter and reaffirmed his calling by showing Peter he was forgiven. This opened the door for Peter to move forward in redemption. It's not hard to imagine that Peter was likely haunted by the memory of that rooster crowing. In fact, this brash apostle probably didn't sleep much until this moment when Jesus showed him that he wasn't done with him. Here we can see an amazing exchange take place where Jesus takes Peter's darkest failure and uses it to cement his great calling. Martin Luther, the great reformer, once wrote, "It is a great comfort that the Bible records many celebrated people falling into huge sins. Such errors are given to us so those who are troubled and desperate may find comfort and those who are proud may be afraid." And he continued, "No man has ever fallen so grievously that he could not have stood up again. And no one has such a sure footing that he cannot fall. If Peter fell, I too may fall. But if Peter stood up again, I also can." So often we allow past failures, mistakes, and painful experience to keep us from all God wants to do in and through us. We stay trapped in the past, stuck in our circumstances, unable to move, and more importantly, not able to move on. But there's no failing too far that is beyond the reach of God's grace. No mistake so grievous that it disqualifies us from his forgiveness. And if he can forgive us and use our failures to bring glory to his name, then we should be able to rest in that forgiveness. Stop looking backwards and fix our eyes forward towards Jesus. The great lesson we can learn from Peter today is this. Getting knocked down in life is inevitable, but don't get comfortable on the floor. But it's true, isn't it? And I wonder how many of us, we heard that, thought, that's me. I've been there, or even I am there. The great news is, God's not finished with us. God's not finished with you. God wants to have a divine encounter with you. God wants you to have a divine encounter with him. I don't believe you're here by coincidence this morning. If you're here this morning, God wanted you to hear the songs this morning, wanted you to hear the words this morning. There's something in this sermon for you this morning. I'm not saying that because I'm proud and I've got a great sermon. I just believe God doesn't waste his time. Let me talk about garden benches. Through summer, God gave me one or two dreams, and I'm not one of those, you know, some people are very good out there having a dream, remembering it, being able to think what God's saying out of that. I'm not like that. I very rarely remember dreams, and even in this I failed, because there was two or three times where I got dreams and I thought, yeah, I need to write that down. And then next morning, because a lot of them were coming while I was at Transform, and I was really busy either in setup or running Transform. And so actually at one point I actually wrote one or two words that I thought, that'll remind me about the dream. And then when I got back, I thought, what on earth do those words mean? So even in that I failed. But I just want to talk you through some things, some pictures and dreams that God gave me, particularly through the Transform bit. And one was, I saw a garden bench that we have outside of our door at our house. For those of you who have been, there's, we have a few benches around, but there's one outside the door. It's a painted green. And I thought, what's all this about? And then I remembered, felt God start to talk to me about this bench. Because my wife, in certain circles, and if you talk to our Stephen, he'll tell you all about this. If in certain circles, she has a reputation for throwing things away. He can tell you a great story about his fireman. Just while you're having coffee, grab him. I don't know where he is at the moment, but grab him and ask him to tell you the story about the fireman. He then knows the story, I mean. But she has this reputation for throwing things away. We have this bench outside our house, and it had been around quite a few years. It had been in the arm with us. We brought it here, so we are in our 9th year now, so it's been with us 8 years here. But at one point, she decided it was tatty, it was getting a little bit broken, it was going out. And We had a conversation. In the end, we decided, no, we'll try and restore this bench. And so a few screws, a lot of sanding down, some paint, and suddenly we had a really nice restored bench in a new location, providing a new role. And I said, okay, God, I get the picture. Because I'm like that. There have been times in my life, more than once, where I've felt like that, worn out, broken bench, not fit for anything. God restored me, and he can do it for you. I want to get this message across as passionately as I can this morning. In Genesis 18, we won't go to it for time's sake, but go home and read it. It talks about Abraham. Abraham has encountered God. There's a little story in Genesis 18 where he encounters God again. It says there's three men, but he senses the Lord is here. And I was struck as I read it over summer by the phrase that Abraham says. He says, Lord, do not pass me by. Do not pass me by. You know what that tells me? We can get so close to God and yet miss him. Even Abraham, who became Abraham, so close to God, could have missed him. He knew it could just pass me by. And again, I've had times in my life when I sense I've been so near to God and I've allowed it to pass by when I should have got hold of him and encountered him. I want to encourage you, if God's coming close to you this morning, don't let him pass you by. Don't miss what God wants to do for you this morning. Be like Abraham. Cry out, Lord, don't pass me by. If you need to, shout it out with your voice aloud. But do not miss. Don't let it pass you by. I found myself over summer praying, God, don't pass me by. Come back and meet with me. Because God wants an encounter. I just want to talk through some of the stories that without trying, just in my readings, I was reading over summer and how I saw encounter in them. I'm just going to rattle them off very quickly. Is that all right? You can write down the stories and go back if you want, but you know most of them. So John 3, we find Nicodemus. Nicodemus encounters Jesus, encounters him even in fear, really, doesn't he? Because he's going in the dark. He's going where nobody can see him. Yet he still encounters Jesus. And his life is completely changed. When we encounter Jesus, and really encounter Jesus, do you know what? Our lives are not going to be the same. In John 4, we read about the woman at the well. Wow, did she encounter Jesus. She just goes for a drink of water. That's all she's there for. She wants some water. She's going at a time when nobody else is there because of her shame. And she encounters Jesus. Jesus tells her life story. And suddenly, her life is changed. Her life has changed so much that she goes back and brings virtually the whole town out to meet Jesus. She becomes a raving evangelist because she's encountered Jesus. And suddenly, she's got the past dealt with and a bright new future. That's what happens when you encounter Jesus. Zacchaeus, so determined to encounter Jesus, he climbs a tree. There's a whole host of sermon in there as well. But what happens when he encounters Jesus? A self-serving, grabbing man becomes a generous-hearted man of God. What a change. I've been reading some of these and thinking, God, have I really encountered you? Because I'm looking thinking, have I changed that much? Have I seen that transformation in my life, or am I just a little bit changed? Mark 5, demoniac, encounters Jesus and is set free completely. The power of Jesus, the power of encountering Jesus can set you free. Whatever chains you're wrapped up in, they're not bigger than the encounter of Jesus. They're not stronger than the encounter of Jesus. I could go on forever. Jairus' daughter, encounters Jesus and goes from death to life. What bigger transformation? The woman who touched his garment, long-standing illness, and it's gone just from touching Jesus' garment. Actually, it was more about the faith of touching the garment than touching the garment, but you know what I mean. Now, the problem with me relating all of these stories is that it could sound like I'm saying you need to encounter Jesus so that every problem in your life gets sorted. And maybe some of that, but they may not. We may encounter Jesus and actually some of our problems may not be sorted. But I'll tell you this, if you really encounter Jesus, your life will change. Your heart will change. Your outlook will change. Even if the circumstances don't change, your view of those circumstances will change. Your ability to cope and deal with those circumstances will change. I was reading this morning in my quiet time, John 6:26. And again, we won't go to it for time's sake, but read it at home. But I was struck by God, Jesus having this whole conversation with the disciples about bread. And one of the verses that hit me was this: don't work for bread that perishes, but work for living bread. As I thought about that, my mind went to the whole talk about building in a way that will stand the test of fire. You know that story where Jesus says, how are we building? Are we building? And I began to think, God, what are the things that we build that stand the test of fire? And as I was praying this morning and worshiping, I could list things that I could think, well, that would stand the test of fire, wouldn't it? And it started to be the ministries, the things I've done in ministry. And it's like God said, even that, that's not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for, what you've built that will stand the test of fire, is your relationship with me. That's what will really stand the test of fire. Anything else can get burnt, get singed, but your relationship with me is like gold. How's our relationship with Jesus? Is it all about what we do, or is it about who he is and who we are? We need to encounter Jesus because he's worth more than anything else that we can think of. So Jesus wants to encounter you. That's my point this morning. As we start this new academic year, let's start it with an encounter of Jesus. Let's at least go back to a prophetic word from a lot of years ago, put a stake in the ground this morning that from this day forward, I'm going to seek Jesus. Again, one of the books I read over summer, Bill Johnson book, he talks about a lot of things which challenged me, but he talks about focus. And he makes this statement. He says, we become like the one we focus on. And I thought, wow, if that's true, I better be careful who and what I'm focusing on. Because I want to become like Jesus. So if focusing on Jesus, I'm going to become like him. I want to make sure I'm well focused on Jesus. I had this dream, trying to bring this to an end without going on forever. I had this dream in Transform Again. And this one I do remember. I remember it as well as I can. And in the dream, I was surrounded by a wall of bricks, and it was getting higher. And then I looked at the bricks, and on each brick there was words. And the words that I could see on the bricks were hurt, offense, unforgiveness, disappointment, pain. You get the picture? And then in the dream, I was wrestling with, who is building this wall around me of all these things? And then I looked and there were people around. And I began in my dream to think, you're the ones that's building this wall around me. And it was like God showed me, he said, you know what? Some of the people you can see, yeah, they've helped make the bricks. But as I began to look in the picture in the dream, I was putting the bricks in the wall. They were helping make the bricks, but I was picking the bricks up. And I was building the wall. And God said, the only way this wall will stop building is if you stop building it. That's wow. And actually, the only way you're going to get what you've built down is if you let me take it down. I remembered that dream. What are the walls that you've got built up around you? Because God wants to break them down this morning. Because they will also stop you from encountering Jesus the way you are meant to encounter Jesus. It's a bit heavy this morning, isn't it? But I want to tell you, it's a heavy word that will lead to freedom, release, empowerment, and being all that you need to be for Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your friend, if you've never committed your life to Jesus, do it this morning. Encounter Jesus. If you, like me, have known Jesus for a long, 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 long time, but know in your heart there's an edge gone, the shine's gone, life has taken something away, God wants to do something about that this morning. And then I want to throw one final bit of prophetic in as well before I hand back to Kevin and let him do whatever he wants to do this morning. But in all of this, I had another dream. And it was like God said, right, that was, these are the things I want to deal with. But I saw this dream and I said, what's that about? And now, it was a building again, but it wasn't bricks, it was, you know, the stickle bricks, kids' stickle bricks. And I thought, hang on a minute, what's all that about? And I felt God say this, and I think it's true for me, and I think it's true for us as a church and for some individuals here. I felt God say, in the coming year, I want to connect you to new people. I want to connect you in ways you've not been connected before. And as you connect, the strength of that connection will build something great for me. Now, I don't know about you, but I thought stickle bricks is not a great building. There's a limitation in the picture. But I just felt God was really saying, as we're going to this year, look for new connections. Look for new connections that are from God. Because he's going to do, and I think I could almost go around and begin to name people, that God wants to reconnect with him and connect with new people who actually together you're going to make a difference in the kingdom. And Andy and Carol, I think that word is very much for you too this morning as well. God wants to bring you new connections that will actually make you a force bigger than you've been before. Look for the connections. There are others, but I just feel that it's very much a word for you this morning. Get hold of that word and let God connect you where he wants to connect you. So this morning, whatever God's saying to you out of what I've said, and I've struggled this morning, if I'm truthful, to bring the heart and passion of what God's been doing in and through me. When you're going through this for 6 or 7, 8 weeks, it's hard then to do it in the few minutes I have, but I hope you've caught a little bit of what God's put on my heart. As we go into this next year, don't get me wrong here, I'm not dishing anything here, but I don't want the same old as we've had in the past. I want God's fresh anointing for the future. Don't let anything that's happened in the past rob you of God's fresh anointing for the future. Do not pass me by. God bless you.